Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mike Callahan. Mike is a software developer for the Westfair Commerce Support Organization. As a member of the Westfair Commerce Support Team, he is responsible for providing technical assistance for the Westfair Commerce family of products. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Mike.
Great. Thanks a lot, Elijah. So today I'll be talking to you about Westfair Commerce Extended Sites. It's one of the more emerging business models that Commerce supports right now. If you're not familiar with it, or if you are but need some more details, hopefully today's lesson will help. So some of the topics that we're going to go over, first an overview and some of the general scenarios on when to use extended sites. We'll do a little comparison of the traditional B2C and B2B models compared to the extended sites model. We'll talk briefly about the different starter stores or store archives involved with extended sites. We'll then get into the shared assets and the store path to sort of show you how to actually make use of the extended sites. The organizational structure plays a key role in this, defining the different access control for e-sites. It introduces the concept of contracts, not too deep into contracts. I'll also show you the tooling flow on when to use which tools and then which stores you should log into. I'll show you a few different potential catalog configurations that you could use, and then just some general things to keep in mind when designing e-sites. So what are extended sites? Well, there's many different strategies required for different segments or brands in the consumer business. Depending on the setup, you may require different storefronts depending on what brands you're offering or who you're trying to appeal to. As you scale larger, the key to this is to try to share as many of these assets between the sites as possible. You want to minimize maintenance and management when you're doing this. Otherwise, if you scale to 100 different stores and you're still having to maintain 100 sets of catalogs, 100 sets of commands, JSPs, and so on, you can see there's going to be a lot of overhead here. So extended sites was sort of introduced to provide the infrastructure for the sharing of these assets. We can share catalog data, the presentation logic, including JSPs, or the actual business objects, such as the promotions, campaigns, shipping, and so on. With the extended sites model, we've also introduced what's known as the hub. The hub basically lets you deploy new extended site stores based on these shared assets, and it lets you do so fairly rapidly. One key thing to note is that the extended sites is kind of an extension of either the B2B or B2C / consumer direct models. So the stores that you create in the extended site model will give you all the features and functionality of those B2C or B2B stores, but you can sort of scale larger and share the assets between them. You can also even have both a B2B and a B2C store in the same extended site. And as I sort of hinted at, it allows for greater scalability and ease of deployment the more stores you get, or even if you have a small number of stores, if there's going to be something in common, it may make sense to share the assets and use the extended site model. Just briefly, a few different scenarios common for the extended sites model. Different brands, geographies, marketing segments, or customers. So often, depending on the geographies, if you have something in the Americas, you may be sharing from the same set of catalogs, but sort of a different subset of this catalog would be offered, whether it's in the Americas or whether it's somewhere in Europe. Of course, the shipping and tax regulations could differ as well. So if there's some common grounds, but things such as this would differ, you may want to consider using extended sites. If you have a lot of things offering the same product, but just the look and feel of the stores based on brand is different, then extended sites will allow you to share the catalog assets, but then for all the storefronts and JSPs, you can customize those per store. Again, as I mentioned, you could have B2C and B2B in the same extended site. So you could have both the business side and the consumer side, but it's offering the same set of products, but of course, when you introduce on the B2B side, you're getting more into the contracts, whereas any old consumer can shop on the B2C side. Finally, you could have something like an employee site compared to an external site. So if you have different customer segments, the pricing and product entitlement could differ. So again, this is another potential scenario for extended sites. So just two slides here on the traditional model compared to the extended site model. So what you see here is just the traditional model at a very, very high level. So what we have across the top are three different stores. They could be either B2C or B2B stores. Doesn't really matter. The point I'm getting at here is that I have three stores. Each one is pointing to its own catalog, its own set of JSPs and images, and its own set of commands or business logic down at the bottom. So as you can see, if I just have two or three stores, that's not so bad. But if I'm scaling to something bigger, 5 or 10 or 100 stores, which is definitely quite common, you can see this isn't going to scale very well. There's going to be a lot of maintenance required, and it's also going to be more complicated as far as deployment goes. So compare that traditional model to what now is the extended sites model. And down at the bottom, you can see we only have one catalog, at least by default, one catalog, one set of business logic, and one set of JSPs and images. Across the top are the actual extended sites, or also known as the hosted stores. Each time we create one of these, basically all it's doing is it's going to create new references to the existing pre-deployed assets. So when I create the new hosted stores, it's not going to publish a new catalog or deploy new JSPs. It's just going to reference the existing ones. So you can see here, in this case, if I had 100 stores, well, all I'm making is 100 sets of relationships to the same data. So obviously, this is going to scale a lot better. I'm going to get into the specifics more later as to what that catalog really means down at the bottom and how that ties into what's called the catalog asset store. That's coming in subsequent slides. So just a couple brief points on when to consider using the extended sites model. So if you have multiple customer-facing stores, obviously one of the good questions is, should I be using the extended sites model over just a traditional B2C or B2B model where you're constantly publishing the actual B2C store archive over and over and creating new assets? One of the most important questions, are you an enterprise licensed customer? Professional and Express don't offer extended sites, so you or your customers would need to be on Enterprise or Business Edition in 561 for extended sites. You need to consider if you're going to be sharing things such as the catalog assets, contracts, or the JSPs. If you do think you're going to be sharing some subset of these or all of them, it makes sense to be using the eSites model. And also, you can sort of pick and choose what you're going to be sharing, as I mentioned before. You could share everything, or you can just share the JSPs. But anything that you're sharing, you do also have the ability to sort of take precedence and override that for each hosted store level. So you could still share it, or you could define something specific to each hosted store. Down at the bottom, high-level comparison between the traditional B2C and B2B models, or store archives, and the extended sites model. So, of course, they all offer at least a single catalog. You could build sales catalogs on top of these. Multiple look and feels. I touched on this before about the brands. So extended sites is the only one that offers the brand or the multiple look and feels for the brands. You could do it in the other models, but it's going to be a little more tricky to accomplish that. Different prices. So, of course, you can set different prices in B2C, but sort of what I'm getting at is the different terms and conditions. From a contract side or entitlement side, same with the different shippings as well. So B2B would offer you this. Consumer Direct would not, but again, the eSites model will put these in place as there's always a base contract, even on if you're using B2C stores, there's going to be a base contract kind of underlying in the eSite model. Different promotions, yes, you can set them up across the board, so nothing changed there. And, of course, one of the bigger ones at the bottom, adding stores in the future. I mean, you can keep republishing B2C stores if you needed to, but what I'm hinting at here is sort of the ease of deployment of additional stores in the eSite model. You don't really have to deploy new assets. You just keep making use of the existing ones, and you can very rapidly get new stores up to speed. So moving on to slide 8. So here we are going to take a look at the extended site starter store. These are the different stars or store archives that we offer with Commerce out of the box. So you may be familiar with the B2C ones, such as ConsumerDirect.star, the B2B one, AdvancedB2BDirect.star. So I think there's 7 different ones that come into play here in the extended sites model. Taking a look at what we've got, the extended sites.star is the actual composite star. What I mean by composite is it includes everything that you would need for the extended sites model. So if you want to just get started on it and aren't really doing any customizations yet, you can publish that one. It'll publish everything, including the catalog, the JSPs, and all the underlying data. If you take a look at the diagram at the bottom, I'll sort of touch on what a few of these ones are. As I said, I'm going to talk in a bit about the different asset stores and what an asset store is, but if you do publish the composite star, you're going to get two different storefront asset stores. So the storefront asset store is what's going to keep your JSPs and property files and your commands will get registered for a storefront asset store. So there'd be one for the B2B direct model, one for the consumer direct model, and then depending on which type of extended site or hosted store you're creating from the hub, you're going to be basically picking one or the other to say, this will be a B2B hosted store, so I'm going to reference the B2B commands and the B2B JSPs. And you could make reference to each of them, one hosted store to each in the same extended site. So that's what the first two stars are. You could customize the storefront asset store, publish additional asset stores. One of the diagrams I depict a little later actually shows that you could have multiple asset stores, such as multiple storefront asset stores. It all just depends on the design of the site and how you want to break things up. The other asset store is the fourth one down, the Extended Sites Catalog Asset Store. So regardless of whether you're using B2B or B2C, there's just going to be one asset store published out of the box. And this sort of holds all the catalog data, the sample catalog, and all the catalog will be registered for the asset store. The next one is the hub. That's sort of where you're creating and managing the hosted stores themselves. You don't really do any of the day-to-day line of business work, such as setting up marketing or anything like that in the hub, but that's just to create the actual stores themselves. I don't want to get into the bottom two, just to create the org structure or the store directory, but I'm not going to talk about those right now. One other thing to note, if you do publish the extended sites.star archive, it will create one sample hosted store for you. And it's a B2B store. After that, you can go to the hub and create as many more hosted stores as you want. So on to slide 9 now. Now we're going to take a look at the actual hosted stores. So the hosted store, also called an extended site or the customer-facing store. So this is the physical entity that you can sort of hit in the browser as a shopper, as a customer on the site. You can't actually get to an asset store, such as storefront asset store, in the URL because that's only half the picture. So the hosted store is the physical store entity in the store ent table as well. And it's going to build the relationships to the predefined shared assets to let you actually access the store and place your orders on the storefront. So how would you create a hosted store? You would do this from the accelerator. Basically, you would log in into a store, an accelerator, and the store you're picking in this case is actually the extended sites hub that I talked about. The little wizard that's being used here on the right is called the store creation wizard. It's used to create only hosted stores. It's not the same as where you would actually publish a store archive. So one thing to note at this point, when you come to create a hosted store, you need to have already published the extended sites store archive, which will put down all the underlying asset stores. Because some of the things it's asking you for on the right are dependent on these asset stores existing, such as which initial catalog are you going to use? And what that means is which catalog asset store are you going to be pointing to? Similarly, you're going to pick the store type, whether it's a B2B or B2C. And this is what I mentioned earlier. When you publish the store archive, you're actually going to get both the B2B and B2C storefront asset stores published as well. So this is where you're going to pick from your set of commands, views, and policies to say this particular hosted store is a B2B type, so I'm going to pick the B2B storefront asset store. Some of the other options you have is fairly limited, but you do also get to pick your payment methods at this time, such as Bill Me Later, which credit cards you would accept. Of course, you can alter this afterwards. On the bottom diagram, I just kind of show what the store service agreement is. Excuse me. So the service agreement is sort of a hosting contract or a contract, and then a few other things defined on top of that, including the different relationships that we build to the shared assets. I show you a little later the actual contract part of this hosting agreement. You do have the ability to export these agreements into XML, modify them accordingly, whether you want to build other relationships to other existing asset stores, and then you can re-import the service agreement. So moving on to slide 10, a little more on hosted stores. So what does a hosted store really mean? Actually, the bottom point may want to be at the top. It's not the same as a store published. When you publish consumerdirect.star each time, as I mentioned, you're going to lay down new JSPs, register new commands and struts, and so on. When you create a hosted store, it is not the same as that. No new JSPs are laid down. No new commands are registered in struts. In fact, if you look in struts after you have, let's say, 50 hosted stores created, not a single one out of the box would reference the hosted store ID. They would all be referencing the store ID generally of the storefront asset store that's being shared. So instead, what it is actually doing, it's first creating a new organizational unit. So one of the options that you have when creating each individual hosted store is which organization will this store be placed under, such as the extended site seller org. But what it's actually going to do is it's going to create an organizational unit under that org entity, and this will be specific to the hosted store, which would then reside in this org unit. There's the extra layer of organizations in there sort of to allow administrators to be administrators for only that one specific store, such as a store admin. We'll also set up a new fulfillment center. You can add more after. Of course, the key thing is the store relationships that we build. So this is defining what is also known as the store path. This is to say I'm inheriting the catalog from store one, the storefront commands from store two, and so on. I've got a couple diagrams which will explain that better if it's not clear. Next is the catalog selection. So the catalog asset store would hold the master catalog, and you sort of have options as to say, for this particular hosted store, I'm going to use the whole master catalog, or I'm going to use the catalog filter concept to filter out different subsets of these products to create a product set, and I can adjust the price accordingly, mark them down from the original price, and so on. So each store this way could have subsets of the catalog. Another option, which I'll get into as well, is to use sales catalogs. Of course, business policies are set up too. A few other things, the actual contract I will show you too. So this is going to set up things such as the price list policy, again, the product set, the price adjustments, and which orgs are actually participating in this hosted contract. Moving on to slide 11, not much additional to say here. Out of the box, we do have two asset stores, one catalog asset store, and two different types of storefront asset store. I think I've gotten across what each of these are used for. Just one point I did want to get onto is, as I said, if you want, you can, if you take a look at the storefront asset store, I mentioned you can share JSPs, promotions, campaigns, and so on. Well, depending on the setup of your e-site, it may make sense to actually break one catalog or one storefront asset store up into two storefront asset stores. So some of the stores can share the same set of JSPs, but then there may also be a different set of promotions depending on the store. So you may want two asset stores, one sort of a promotion asset store and one for the actual display logic or commands. So there's a lot of flexibility there. It all depends on which things will be shared. Slide 12, more on share assets and the store path, as I mentioned. So the store path is built through the relationships within the store rel table. It's directional, so you're sort of saying that the extended site or hosted store will, in a sense, share or inherit from the asset stores. The first relationship for every command I've got down below, or every class I've got down below, is to yourself. So that takes precedence over anything else. So if you've defined a struct view at the hosted store level, which out of the box there wouldn't be any, but if you do define one for the hosted store level, then that one would take precedence. But if it can't find one for that level, it's going to go to the store rel, see the next relationship, which is to the storefront asset store, see if that one has the view defined. If it does, it'll use that. And again, if it doesn't find that, then as in a non-eSite model as well, it would just define to the site level store ID 0. So I've got a lot of different relationships down below. I don't want to scare you off with that. I just wanted to sort of simply break it up for the difference between what's inherited from a catalog asset store compared to the storefront asset store. The left being catalog asset store, of course, you've got things like catalog and generally pricing and the things tied to the pricing, such as currency. From the storefront asset stores, pretty much everything else. There's a lot more relationships on the storefront asset store side. All the shipping, promotions, contracts, the views, URLs, and commands. Command would correspond to anything registered in command reg, view and URLs. In 6.0, of course, that's going to map to the stress file. 5.6.1, that'd be view reg and URL reg. And again, campaigns and the actual business policies. So this is sort of how out of the box we define the asset stores. As I said, for example, the storefront asset store, you can break it up even more and create two different storefront asset stores depending on how you want to share this data. So I've got two examples here, I believe, sort of show you what you could do. So at the top, we have one of our extended sites or hosted stores. You can imagine that if I'm using the eSite model, I probably have a bunch more of those stores at the top with these same lines going down to these same stores with the relationships. So I'm kind of building on the diagrams I showed before, where one store has a relationship to the master catalog and to the business logic and JSPs, but now I've sort of interjected the two asset stores into that. So out of the box, this is something that we would have. I'd have my one hosted store pointing down to the catalog asset store with a relationship of the catalog. So that means I'm going to get my catalog from the catalog asset store, or more so the master catalog of the catalog asset store. I could, of course, define a sales catalog as well at the catalog asset store level if that was going to be a shared catalog. Generally, it doesn't make much sense to define all the sales catalogs at the asset store level, but it is possible. I'm going to get more into that in a second. Contrary to this, on the right side, got the business logic and JSPs, and you can see just a few of the relationships that I've pulled out from StoreRel on the right arrow to say, now I'm going to have all these relationships to my B2C, for example, storefront asset store, and therefore, anytime I need a URL or a campaign, I'm going to be able to inherit the data from that store. Taking it one step further on slide 14, I've introduced a second storefront asset store. It doesn't really matter what model this is. We can assume it's B2C, but the same idea could be in B2C or B2B, sorry. So I still have the exact same relationships to the catalog on the left, the master catalog from the catalog asset store. But now I've sort of loosely broken this up to say storefront asset store one, I'm going to pull anything promotion related. I'm going to sort of call this my promotion asset store. On the right, I'm keeping it just with all the actual logic itself, such as the commands and URLs. So I could potentially have a different set, storefront asset store three, which also has commands and URLs registered there, but this particular extended site could inherit from this consumer direct storefront asset store. But then if I had a second extended site at the top, for example, a B2B hosted store, I could point that to this third storefront asset store to say, since this is a B2B one, it makes more sense, obviously, to make use of the B2B commands. So you can sort of see how this scales, and there's a lot of flexibility on building the relationships. Every customer setup is probably different from the one before it. It just depends on the business and how many different stores and how many different shared assets you would have. Slide 15 now. So just a few relationships that I want to touch on a little more. One is the promotions relationship. I did just talk about a promotion asset store, but depending on how big you get and how many hosted stores you have and, in turn, how many promotions you have, not necessarily the best idea. The reason being, the more promotions you have, if you had 1,000 different stores and one particular store needs to go to the promotion asset store or just the general asset store to find the promotions, you can imagine that this is a lot of promotion data that's got to evaluate to see if it's applicable. Probably not a good idea. Sometimes it would almost make sense and does make sense to not share the promotions. If you've got a larger environment, set up the promotion specific to each hosted store, unless they really are shared promotions. And if you're defining them only at the hosted store, you may also want to actually remove the store rel relationship to the promotion-related data, promotions and campaigns, just to eliminate this extra evaluation. One common misconception is just relating to customer segments. Customer segment is tied to an organization. It's a member group tied to an organization, not a particular store. So you need to sort of keep this in mind when you're defining your organizational hierarchy and when you're picking where each hosted store will go. If you intend on sharing the customer segments, well, make sure that there's some kind of common ground between the hosted stores you have, such as placing them all under the extended site seller org. Then you can define your customer segment member group at the extended site seller org, and then any of the organizations below that would inherit it, and they could then share it. Third one is talking about inventory. Right now, out of the box, inventory is not a supported relationship. It's not something we support sharing in the extended sites model. You have to define the inventory at each hosted store level. There are ways you could customize this from the support side. It's nothing I'm going to support, but there are, for example, IBM Services, ISSW do have an asset that let you implement this. The shopping carts are not shared. One single shopper could shop on multiple stores, depending on how your access control is set up, but the cart will not be migrated between them, sort of ties into the inventory issue. The last one I want to talk about is tax. It's sort of partially supported. I've got a tech note that I wrote. I've referenced the number here. Depending on which part you're setting up, some things you can define as a shared asset, such as all the calculation framework, CalCode, CADM, CalCode, and so on. The jurisdiction-specific things and tax categories, you need to define those at the actual hosted store level. Our code will not look through the store path to try to resolve a jurisdiction. You could, if you wanted, to make use of a store group, which is sort of just another store object you can define in store entity table. And you could, if you wanted, define a whole bunch of different stores into the same store group object, and then you would only have to define the jurisdiction once for this particular store group. So that sort of helps if you need to still share, if you're going to have a lot of stores all using the same jurisdictions. Slide 16 now. So sort of taking a step aside here and to talk about the organizational structure or hierarchy. Probably familiar with it. It's used to group users and resources together for authorization or access control. Plays a pretty key role in eSites. If you think of all the different stores you have, your B2B stores for the host store model, maybe different administrators or completely different shoppers and so on from your B2C model. So you need to pay attention to how you're breaking up the different organizations when you're creating the hosted stores. Anything you allow a user to do in one organization, that role will sort of be granted to any child organization of that. So, for example, if you define your access control to say, I'm a registered customer at the root organization, well, it's probably a bad idea because that means I'm a registered customer anywhere. Probably doesn't make sense, but it probably isn't what you're after. So I touched on the organizations and their roles. It allows you to control what your registered users are doing. So you can either say, I'm only going to register this customer to the org unit directly above one hosted store. If I'm a registered customer there, that means I can only shop at that particular hosted store. Or I could sort of take it a level higher, as I'll show you in the next diagram. Actually, I'll show you that now. If you look down at the bottom, for example, this is the out-of-the-box B2C part of the eSite org structure. So on the bottom right, I've got two hosted stores created, B2C Store 1 and Store 2. In this particular depiction, I've got my customers registered per hosted store. So when I created my hosted store, B2C Store 1, I picked the org as Extended Site Seller Org, which is the third one down from the left if you're counting. When I created the B2C Store 1, it created my org unit, which is Extended Site Seller Org B2C Store 1. So it sort of appends the store name to the org name of the parent org. And then in this case, I've got my registered customers for that store registered to that org unit. That means those bottom left customers can only shop in that store. I could also assign them another registered customer role in eSite Seller Org B2C Store 2, which is the one to the right of that, and then they could sort of have two registered customer roles, one per org, to say you can register or you can shop in both. Or I could register them at the extended site seller org, which is the parent of both of these, and that would say I'm going to inherit that registered customer role in any of these children orgs, meaning I can shop on any of these stores. In the B2C model, if you look at the top left, the default org, that's the owning organization of the customers. Not a whole lot of relevance as far as access control goes, since access control is all role-based. So although they reside in the default org, the roles are played in one of these particular seller orgs. Off on the right, you can see there's a different branch sort of for the actual eSite org, the behind-the-scenes part. So this is where you keep your asset stores and the actual hub. So the channel managers are sort of the ones maintaining the hub. Then you have seller admins on the seller side to administrate the stores below them. You could also have a store admin or another seller admin on these specific hosted store organizations. So if you take this picture, which is the B2C org, and I kind of just flip it a little on the next slide, 18, which is the B2B part. So it's basically the exact same thing. All I've done is I scrapped the default org, and instead of calling them the customers on the left, I'm calling them a buyer on the right, because now you're buying on behalf of the organization. So this is where the buyer org is and where the buyers reside. Those same buyers who reside there down at the bottom left, again, they will play the registered customer role in these B2B hosted orgs. And this, again, allows you to shop on those B2B sites. So it's pretty much the same as the B2C side, just you've scrapped the default org and introduced the buyer org, or you could have multiple buyer orgs. Keep in mind, this is only the out-of-the-box version. What you'll actually get when you publish the extended site star is sort of both of these overlapping on top of each other, because the eSite's infrastructure, as I said, supports both B2C and B2B hosted stores in the same site. So if you really look at your environment, you'll notice there's both the default org and a buyer org, regardless of whether you're using B2B or B2C hosted stores. And then as you create the hosted stores, the seller org units on the bottom left will be created for each one. Moving on to slide 19, I don't want to get into the specifics of contracts in this presentation, but it is worth noting that there is a contract being published when you create your hosted stores. So each extended site would sort of get a base contract governing the activities between the store and its customers. You don't necessarily need an account. If you think, for example, in the B2C hosted stores, well, you're not going to have the accounts here. You're also going to have a default contract for the extended site itself, referring to the base contract for each hosted store. I give a brief little example down at the bottom. So if you're doing business with me up in Canada and Elijah down in the States, well, what you can do is you can create two extended sites or hosted stores. You'll have a unique storefront for each one of the countries. You create a default contract, but then each store would in turn have its own base contract. And this is sort of going to set up the different contract terms and conditions, to say the different pricings or entitlement, depending on whether you're Canadian or whether you're American. So that's a very simple example of what you could do, but I mean, this can be done in a B2C environment if you're using extended sites, or, of course, B2B. So the next three slides, it's kind of intimidating just looking at it. Slide 20 is the B2C example. It's the snippet of the trading agreement, whereas the contract information. So this is part of the trading agreement I talked about earlier. It's not the entire thing, but this is the contract part of it. I just want to show it to you for reference. This is what you get out of the box. Of course, you can tailor the contract as you see fit to change which pricing policies you're using or so forth. Slide 21 is the B2B base contract. Sort of familiar if you are used to contracts in just the general B2B model. Slide 22 is the eSite contract. Nothing too fancy there. So I just wanted to leave those ones as reference. I'm not going to go through what each entity inside of the XML of the contract means. But if you do want to see what the contracts entail and sort of how they're built, you can come back here for reference, and we can talk about contracts later. Moving on to slide 23. So this is getting into the tooling side of things. So by tooling, I mean Accelerator, OregonMin console, and CommerceAdmin console. So this is sort of the general breakdown of what you need to do and where. So in the green on the left is sort of the prereq work to get going with the hosted stores. Obviously, the first thing you have to do is from the CommerceAdmin console. You publish the extended site stars, which I mentioned earlier. This will create the different asset stores for you and lay down the groundwork for the underlying JSPs and stress entries and so on. You then set up the buyer-seller organizations. You got to figure out your org structure before you do it. Generally, it's a good idea, so you should probably do that after you publish the asset stores before you lay down the hosted stores. Of course, set up your admin users. So the orgs and the admin users do that from the org admin console. Then what you would do is you would log into the newly created hub, which you just got from the step at the top when you published the SAR. And here you can iterate through and create as many hosted stores as you see fit. That's sort of the ongoing part, the prior steps, well, especially the first two steps, you generally wouldn't need to do again. So once you publish the site star once or have your own asset stores published, you generally just need to leave them there. You don't need to go back and keep publishing each time you make hosted stores. So that's sort of the pre-admin work that you need to do on the left. On the right side, I get more into the specific hosted stores or asset stores. So I've got three boxes here in the bluish purple, the top being the catalog asset store. So once you publish the star, you'll get one catalog asset store. What you would do here is you'd log into Accelerator, pick the catalog asset store. Here you can work with the master catalog, which is going to be shared for the hosted stores. Of course, you set up your products, kits and bundles and so on in the master catalog. You do have the option of using the sales catalog tooling if you want at the asset store level. Here you'd set up a shared sales catalog. Storefront asset store in the middle. Sort of makes sense based on the commands that I showed earlier that are the ones being inherited from this store. So here you log into Accelerator for one of your asset stores and you'd either work on your promotional or campaign data or work with base contracts in the B2B environment. Finally, the customer-facing store or the hosted stores. So these, you could have 100 different ones of the ones at the bottom. You can work with the catalog filtering or the sales catalog, set up the shipping and taxes specific to each store, work with the inventory, and so on. Slide 24. So catalog filters is not necessarily anything new to you if you've used the B2B environment. It's not specific to extended sites, but it's definitely a very important part of extended sites. So what the catalog filtering is going to let you do is basically take from the master catalog, which is defined in the catalog asset store. You can see in my two pictures on the right, the top one is from the base contract for my catalog asset store. If you look closely, it's showing the master catalog. The ambulatory needs is one of my categories. I've marked that down by 5% at the asset store level. The diagnostics, I've excluded that to say I'm not going to show that category in the store. But then what I've done, sort of another contract on top of that specific to one of my hosted stores, is, again, I'm inheriting what I just showed above from the base contract, but now I'm also going to say my medical supplies for this hosted store will be marked down by 9% as opposed to just the base price, and I don't want to show wound care for this particular hosted store. So you can do things like that. I haven't done it here. But under bundles, I could have potentially added another category, another set of products, which are specific to the hosted store, and they're not actually shared. So you can do the markups, markdowns, you can exclude the from the master catalog product sets, and so on. Slide 25. So this is still also tied to the catalog side of things. So one thing to note, out of the box, if you go into Accelerator, you'll only see the sales catalog tooling option in the asset store out of the box, the catalog asset store. You won't actually see it in the hosted stores. As I said before, I doesn't always make sense, though, that this is the way it is. You may not want to be sharing your sales catalog because maybe you just want to use a subset of the products and rebuild how the categories are defined and so on. So you actually want to just create a host or a hosted store, have a sales catalog of its own. It's not going to be anything shared. If this is the case, it's fairly straightforward to go into this Commerce Accelerator MHS, for example, .xml. I show the snippet of the XML down at the bottom. In this particular XML file, which is the one for B2C hosted stores, this part down in red is going to be commented out. So that's saying we're not going to display the sales catalog design for the hosted stores. You just need to uncomment it and then restart your server, go back into Accelerator for the hosted store, and then you can actually build your sales catalog for the hosted store itself. Another thing, if you wanted, just while I show it, the second highlighted box in red, if you really want, you can enable the sales catalog tooling on the master catalog. This isn't enabled out of the box because you can do things here that you shouldn't do for a master catalog that we don't support, such as placing a product under two different categories in a master catalog. Of course, a sales catalog lets you put the same product in 100 categories if you want. You can't, or it's not supported to do that in the master catalog, so that's one of the reasons why it's disabled out of the box. But you can enable it if you want to work with the sales catalog tooling. It's a little more intuitive than just the regular product management. On the right, I show a table of, depending on which store you're logging into in Accelerator, what the three-letter acronym is. You can sub that acronym into the Commerce Accelerator something XML file I mentioned on the left. That's the XML file that you need to edit depending on which store you want to modify the menu options. Slide 26 now. These are some real general catalog configurations that you could have. Of course, if you know catalog, it can get a lot more complicated than this. These are just some of the high-level ones I'm talking about. I've got three different ones here. So the one on the far left, my extended site is just strictly going to use the master catalog defined from my catalog asset store, just as is. There may be reasons to that. Maybe it's just the look and feel of each of these e-sites that you need to change. The part in the middle, so here I have two different extended sites. This is sort of what I just touched on in that XML file. I could enable it so I can define a sales catalog for each of those two hosted stores individually. And when I'm doing that, those sales catalogs will be based on the inherited or shared master catalog from the catalog asset store. The far right is, again, another option. This is using the catalog filtering. So it's sort of like the first one to say I'm generally going to just inherit the master catalog. I'm not going to rearrange anything the way I would with the sales catalog, but I'm going to exclude some of the products and adjust some of the prices with some markdowns this way. You can get a little more complicated than this. As I said, you could have your sales catalogs defined at the asset store level if you wanted, one or many. They would be shared, though. You could, in theory, combine the two on the right. So you could use sales catalogs with catalog filtering. Makes things a little complicated. There are some drawbacks to this and some limitations. So you've got to be careful when you're doing this. This is one of the reasons why the sales catalog tooling is disabled out of the box for the hosted store. Basically, you could, if you want to exclude the products from hosted store number two on hosted store number one, well, you could set up a filter to exclude them, and then the sales catalog for the products that you are sharing, you'll use that to sort of rearrange them and build new categories and so on. Slide 27. Briefly here about the member registration attributes XML. Again, it's not something specific to extended sites, but any of our user registration commands will always reference this XML file to determine which roles will get assigned to the registering user and which organizations they'll play that role in. There is specific sections for the extended sites model. The one file will have all the different org models. Every time you publish a store, it'll update with a new set of XMLs. So this is just sort of to show the example I talked about before, in one of my earlier diagrams, whether you want to register your customers to say they can only shop at my first hosted store, or as the top part shows, I want them to be able to shop at any hosted store. So this is just changing the org that you're going to play the role in, whether it be the eSite seller org, meaning I can shop anywhere, or the specific org unit, eSite seller org, my hosted store. That should actually be OU equals. There's a typo there. So this is how you control where your users are going to get registered during registration time. Slide 28, not a whole lot to say here. This is about the admin users and what you need to grant them. The Info Center talks about which roles you need to administrate the extended sites. The first point here is sort of what I want to talk about, though. If you have a large site, large number of users and organizations, don't try to go into the store creation wizard as the site admin minus 1,000. Generally a bad idea. It's going to load a lot of data. Odds are your store creation wizard will hang. Makes more sense to create an admin user in the actual org you're going to create the hosted store in and use that to create your hosted stores. For example, use the seller admin from the extended site seller org all the time to create all of your hosted stores, and this way you'll avoid the hangs on the wizard. Slide 29, just a couple other considerations here, sorry. I did already talk about how the struts are processed. So first it's going to look for something such as a view or an action or a global forward in the struts world. For the hosted store ID out of the box, you would never see anything defined at the hosted store ID. You would see it on the second one from the asset store. Generally, it would be a storefront asset store for struts. If nothing's there, as with traditional models, they'll go to the site level. Messaging views, there's a defect that can't really be fixed. It sort of flips how this is done. The site level is above the asset store level. Generally, if this is the case, it's fairly safe to remove the messaging view definition from the site level so it gets picked up from the asset store if it's shared. I've already talked about the sharing of promotions earlier. It's kind of obvious, but if you're creating a lot of new stores and new users when you're setting this up, make sure you do your regular database maintenance, such as run stats and reorg on DB2. Seen a couple PMRs on the last point. Just good to note that if you need to run a command, such as release to fulfillment for a specific hosted store, you need to actually run it through another sort of proxy scheduled job, which is the execute specified command for hosted stores, and then you pass in that as the parameter of what job you want to run for that hosted store. The last two slides, it's again just kind of for reference as the contract XMLs were. There's sometimes some questions about the indirect models. So the extended sites hub.star, if you publish that explicitly, it sort of brings you into the world of B2B indirect as opposed to B2B direct, which I've talked about throughout this. This is kind of one of the different models, but it is based on the extended sites model in a sense. And so you can use the hub here. It's more of an external-facing hub this time. So your customers or your business users would come to the external hub, say that they want to sell whatever product you're offering or whatever type of product you're offering, register themselves, the admin users would approve them, and then each of these sort of customers in turn will now have their own hosted store that they can then have their customers come to and then purchase the product this way. So this is why it's the indirect model, because there's kind of the intermediate level. The actual site admins aren't the same as the hosted store admins anymore, because the hosted store admins are the external customers who then have their own external customers. So that's sort of what you can do with the extended sites hub. I haven't seen the B2B indirect model used a whole lot, but I did want to mention that on slide 30 and here on 31 as well, just for your own reference. Sort of the same idea. You can see the hub on the right. That's basically just a different look and feel from the actual hub you get in Accelerator, but it's the same back-end process of the store creation wizard. So that's the other option with hosting support. So just in summary, on slide 32, we've seen a lot of the advantages that you can have from extended sites and why you'd want to use them. Of course, the main ones are the data sharing, presentation sharing, the rapid store launch and scalability of this. Of course, the different asset stores and the store paths building the relationships between your hosted stores and two or three asset stores is how this is all done. The org structure, key role here, shouldn't have used the word role, but it's important for access control and the roles you play in these organizations and who can do what. I showed some of the sample catalog configurations you can use. I touched on a couple others, but there's an infinite number of ways you can set up your extended sites depending on how many asset stores you have and so on. And of course, the main thing when you're designing your e-sites, you need to know what's going to be shared, because that's going to help you define which asset stores you need, how many hosted stores you need, and so on. Slide 33, just a few references. There's some good red books on the e-site models, good developer works article. Down at the bottom, if you're interested, a shameless plug to another WSD I've done. Access control really does play an important part of these sites, so if you're interested, have a listen to the link at the bottom from a presentation last year. And slide 34, finally, just a couple other references here. So there's a lot of good things here. I suggest that if you don't sign up for the weekly My Support emails, or the flashes, do so down at the bottom. IBM Education Assistant is a great way to learn many of the different topics that you hear in these types of conversations or any other topic related to commerce or WebSphere in general. So I encourage you to look at that as well. I'll pass it back to Elijah now. If there's any questions in the last 5 minutes, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, Mike, for a great presentation.
And our first question comes from Eric Warren.
Yeah, I was just questioning when you create new hosted sites that are referencing the store asset stores, do you, if you're wanting to make some customizations that are particular to that hosted site, do you always have to create, you know, a new storefront asset that you're basing that new e-site or that new hosted site on? Or can you make Can the hosted site also change or, you know, have customizations, you know, JSP changes, et cetera, in it?
Yeah, good question. So by default, you would basically use all the JSPs at a shared level from the storefront asset store. But if you do have specific storefronts, you can actually make these JSP customizations specific to a hosted store. And that's when, as I mentioned, out of the box in your struts files, nothing would reference the hosted store. But if this were the case, you don't need to create anything new. What you would have to do is make the actual store directory under your stores.war, because it wouldn't exist for the hosted store. But then you just need to make a new entry in struts for your action in global forward to reference the hosted store. And then that view or URL, so to speak, would take precedence over the shared one.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And for our next question, we'll go to Shilpa Kotiyam.
Hi. I had a question with respect to a shared product in the master catalog. So if you have a scenario where you have a B2B store and a B2C hosted store in the eSites environment, and you have certain products which have the same number or same product number across the stores, but you want to leverage a different description in a B2B environment versus a B2C environment, how would that be recommended to do?
Well, the underlying schema is still going to be the same. I mean, you're still going to have the same restrictions, like the part number per member ID can only be defined once. If you're using the master catalog, if it's the same part number but you want different descriptions, it's going to be complicated. I don't know a simple way to do that because you still are just using one catalog, one master catalog. So sort of the same idea if you're just using a B2C environment and you're trying to define it twice. If you're giving two different descriptions, then maybe it's not necessarily, should be necessarily the same product. We'd have to look at that after. It's not really a straightforward answer to that one, unfortunately, Shilpa.
Okay, no problem. Thanks.
And for our next question, we'll go to Radhna Krishnan.
Yeah, sorry, my question, is there any limitation on the number of stores that can be created on a specific, instance of eSite model?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. So the simple answer to that is no. What you need to be more worried about as far as scalability goes is how many organizations and members you have in your site. Strictly speaking, the stores themselves aren't the bottleneck. It's when you have a whole lot of organizations and members that are going to start to slow down the performance. So functionally, there's no limit, but, of course, every site's performance is sort of going to be different from everyone else's. And that's what you need to keep in mind as you have a huge scaled site, like 1,000 sites. If you've got 10,000 different organizations, things are probably going to start to slow down a little.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
At this time, we conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Mike, for presenting today.